KVC. Listening to the Dave Congleton Show, Matt Hoy in for Dave. The plan was, and of course, as all plans do, they get destroyed when they meet reality. The plan was to have Aaron Ogren of Central Coast College Consultants in here, and we were going to talk about how to get your kid into college without getting yourself into the federal pen.
That's impossible. Would you have to pay?
I'm pretty sure my dad went to prison for some time just to get me into college.
Yeah, it generally costs $500,000.
And
it's
24 to 36 months.
Yeah, there's no other way to get kids into college.
Time off for good behavior. Unfortunately, or fortunately, depending on your take on that, Ms. Ogren's daughter-in-law went into labor last night. And so she has gone down to Southern California to be with a new grandchild instead of here with us.
So she's a nurse?
No.
She's a doctor?
She's a grandmother.
Okay, so she's just sitting there in the lobby. She can't pick up a phone?
I'd probably rather be there than here with me.
Look, when I was younger, I had tickets to Van Halen. Front row, well, it was front row balcony. Go see Van Halen. My dad had a heart attack, and my mom wanted me to stay. And I'm like, I'm not a doctor. I can't do nothing. I got these Van Halen tickets.
Oh.
And they ended up shooting a music video, and I would have been in it if I was there. So she does.
Child of the year, Craig.
This, you're filling in for the Dave Congleton Show. She needs to make. She needs to prioritize.
I do not blame her one bit for this.
No,
but
not even her kid. It's her grandkid.
It's a grand.
Come on, call in.
Yes, like if her water broke right here, yeah, that'd be good. Yeah, no. We will trot on. We will keep a stiff upper lip and continue on. So, if you want to call in with college entrance horror stories, we'd love to hear them. 805-543-8830, 1-800-549-5832. We can do college entrance horror stories. We can do bowling. We did bowling last night. Whatever. This is what, last call? We call this last call?
Yeah, last call.
This is last call. You call in what you want to talk about. You don't call in. It's what Craig and I want to talk about.
Yeah, you know, I could have gotten into Cal Poly. I think I mentioned this earlier because I was complaining about my life. And my dad's like, well, you know, you should go to Cal Poly. You should take music at Cal Poly. And I said, no, I'm going to music school. And so I went to one of those schools where it was very hard to get into because the check had to clear.
Ah.
Yeah, it was like, what's that one where you learn like TV VCR repair?
I think they put all
Sally
those out,
Struthers.
ITT or something technical. Yeah, I think they put those out of business.
Yeah, it's Sally
this
Struthers.
This was like the musical equivalent.
University, and it was a music school. It's called Musicians Institute down in Hollywood, MIT, Musicians Institute of Technology. And I managed to get in because the check cleared.
Because the check cleared, right.
And I was there for 2 weeks. And then I noticed the quality of the graduating class of like the ones that were in their final year.
Right.
And I realized how awful they were. And it just, something wasn't right about
the place. See, that's always been the issue with these for-profit schools. And they make it, they say it's an issue with for-profit schools. It's an issue with the state schools. It's an issue with the not-for-profit schools. Are they preparing you for a career which will make you money?
Yeah, and the school, the Musicians Institute, they were preparing you for the delusion that you were going to be a working musician.
What's that? What is that documentary? I think they had on Netflix or something. I remember watching it. It's about, I think it's called Hired Gun. It's about
the studio musicians.
The studio musicians.
Yeah.
If you have not watched that, it is well worth your time.
I had Dave watch it because it has Liberty DeVito, who was Billy Joel's drummer.
Right. And he is in there. Yes.
Yeah.
And it's just, it's a great documentary, and that's tough business. Doesn't pay well.
No, and
but they are very talented musicians.
The early generation of Musicians Institute students, I knew some, and they were very well qualified and they were very respected. But then the school got bought out. It went from being teacher owned to a corporate entity in Japan, bought it, and it went from teaching music to teaching dreams, basically. They had classes in music video acting and other, you know, contract negotiations, things that weren't musical.
Didn't you just have to be like a young lady with a good body and big hair?
Well, yeah, and since I am not that, I better have a lot of talent.
Yeah, because you're not doing the music video acting thing.
Well, it's, you know, this is the day when you had to flip your hair and you had to be in unison, you know. So this is the early 90s.
You had hair to flip?
Oh, I had tons of hair.
Okay.
Yeah. So anyway, that was my school experience, and I did not go to Cal Poly like my dad suggested. And so now I'm here.
Here you are.
Running the board for you. Look, I can turn the mic down and back up. Thank God I went to music school for 2 weeks. But yeah, that's my extent of after high school education.
Well, I'll tell you this. You know, I got into Cal Poly as an electrical engineering major. And it took about a year for me to discover that I didn't care which way the electrons went. You know, the computer was kind of cool.
You found out it was kind of shocky.
I took my first basic circuit analysis class, 2-unit course that should be a 4-unit course. And it was taught by a professor who was from Pakistan. And I mean, and I think they said he'd been in the country for a couple decades, but it sounded like he'd been in the country for a week. So it took me half the quarter to understand what the heck he was saying. And it was a weeder course, and I like to point out to people that I finished in the top half of that class. I got a D-. So, you know, just not for me. But I will say this, and this is how much, you know, I really appreciate what my parents did for me, was I switched to journalism because I could write, and frankly, a girl I went on a date with said, well, you should do radio. You got a great voice for radio. And I'm like, well, thanks for not telling me I got a great face for radio.
She didn't say you should do TV.
She said radio. She did not say TV. But she was really cute. And so, you know, I went into journalism, but I tell you, it would have been an egregious mistake to go into journalism and to take out student loans. I came out of college 4 years. I got it done, no debt. But to do a journalism career with student loans hanging over my head would have been an absolute nightmare. So, you know, if you've got kids, I encourage you, know, looking to go into college, I encourage you to consider what their major intends to be and what it pays before you bury yourself in student loan debt.
I think that's the most important thing. And every time I hear about someone getting a doctorate in social justice or whatever modern ridiculous thing that you got, I want to say, how much does it pay? And what is the career path? Because there's so many of these careers that you have two choices.
Right.
You get your PhD and then you teach it to other people that get their degrees and then they teach it. That's one way.
Which sounds like a pyramid scheme.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking last night. I'm like, so you just make other people do it, and then they do it, and then they teach other people to do it, and then it's like a virus. And so there's that path, and then there's the private sector, and it pays 30 grand a year, 40 grand a year, you know, and then what?
And what would you like soy with that?
And then your existence is complaining about something in that case. Or so many of these other careers that have no financial future, and you're spending, you know, $100,000 to get a degree in something that pays $30,000. It doesn't make sense.
And frankly, you know, I'm not sure most newspapers and other, you know, online websites and journalistic endeavors are this wise to it just yet. But I don't think journalism should require a college degree. I mean, I learned some stuff in college that helped me, but it's stuff that you could have learned by doing in a newsroom. So, you know, this is what we're talking about. This is last call. If you want to get in on the conversation, if you want to change the conversation, you're sick of hearing our old college stories, give us a call.
You know, in fact, we got a call that is unrelated to anything, so let's just
take this before the break?
Yeah, we'll go to the break.
Okay, let's go.
All right, you're on the air. What's your name?
Sandy.
Sandy, what you got?
I'm just wondering where Dave is. I never hear what's going on.
Dave.
Who do we got? Sorry, we're getting some cross. You still there?
Yes.
Okay, yeah. Dave had a quadruple bypass on February 14th, and he's recovering after his surgery, and he should be back in on Monday.
He shared with his Facebook friends a picture of the CAT scan or MRI or whatever it was of his heart, and one of the major arteries was like 99% blocked, and they got to it before he had any serious problems. So we're happy about that. And again, he will be back on Monday. In the meantime, you are listening to the Dave Collins Show. Matt Hoy sitting in for Dave. If you want in on the conversation, 805-543-8830, 1-800-549-5832. We'll be back right after this.
Now back to Dave.
You kiss me once or twice, then say it's very nice, and then you run. Little sister, don't you do what your big sister done.
You're listening to the Dave Conklin Show. Matt Hoy sitting in for Dave. Dave will be back Monday. Meantime, we're doing Last Call, where we talk about whatever we want to talk about, unless you tell us what you want to talk about. So we had planned on doing college acceptance stuff. You know, I was listening to some people talk earlier. The thing that's kind of enraging about this whole thing with the Hollywood actresses and the stuff they're doing to get their kids into these colleges is there's like legit ways to do this. I mean, if you really want your kid into the college, you can spend $5,000 on SAT tutoring and practice tests. You can spend $10,000 to have them go to Africa and do some public service thing to pad their resume, but they've actually got to do it. And these kids are so dang lazy, or they are so coddled by their parents that they can't even do the stuff that's legal.
Yeah, effort required. And even if
it's not much effort either.
And even they did get good enough grades, as far as, like there was a story earlier about a kid getting a 4.2. who didn't get into a school that one of these rich kids got into.
Right.
Now, so you don't get into USC, you don't get into Stanford, there's plenty of other schools, and it seems like there's this idea that there's a brand that you have to have on you that makes you socially acceptable, it makes you accepted by your peers. If you don't say USC, UCLA,
right,
minimum, then, University of Riverside is not
going to
cut it.
For the most part, who cares? I mean, seriously, I still remember this. One of my classmates, high school classmates, also applied to Cal Poly. We're same class. I think I finished 10th in my class. I think he was 17th. Okay, so there wasn't much difference between us as far as GPA went. He did not get into Cal Poly. He was going into some engineering, structural engineering or something like that. He didn't get in. And he was only 7 places behind me. He still had a 4-point something. And he was the San Diego County boys volleyball player of the year. And he didn't get in. He went to UCSD. He's had a great life. He's, wife and kids. And, it's not like he's sitting on the, freeway off-ramp begging for money.
Mm-hmm.
So it just blows my mind.
I have a friend of mine who 2 years at Cuesta, then 2 years at UC Riverside. I always use him as my example.
Uh-huh.
And then he ended up getting his master's over there. He's a vice president of a bank. He makes $250,000 a year, and he's quite happy.
Right.
He's got the perfect life. But 2 years Cuesta, 2 years UCR, and it's not like it's Harvard.
No.
Believe me, he's very happy.
Well, and Lori Loughlin's kid, the one that really didn't want to go to school, and I guess news is today that she's a YouTube influencer, which means that a couple million preteen or tweens or whatever you call them, kids follow her on YouTube,
and then she pimps products.
And she pimps. So she apparently lost her makeup pimping job.
Yeah, her Sephora job. Going, oh my god, I love this product.
Like, yeah, this is great.
Hashtag awesome.
You should buy it. And I don't get it. That kid's making bank. The kid doesn't want a college degree. The kid doesn't need a college degree. I guess it's so mom and dad can point it at their little darling and say, see, she's so smart.
I think it says something that you're in these circles with very intelligent people. You know, like let's say she meets Barack Obama or she meets somebody and she has to feel like she's an intellectual equal. And so she needs that college degree. And I always encourage college degrees. If she doesn't really want it, that's fine, you know, but still I think it'd be best to get it. Doesn't have to be from USC. But with the parents, it's more of a, I don't know, status symbol. Like, oh, my kids, you know, I was successful because my kids went to college.
Right.
The other thing with the social influencer, that's like a really short-lived deal. I mean, by the time she's 25 or whatever she is, you know,
Facebook.
30,
it's Facebook for old people.
Yeah, old people. She's going to be done. Her career is over. She's going to need something. It's like an athlete, you know, who's in a sport that only lasts 5 years.
Well,
she's going to need
fine
something
too.
To fall back on.
Well, and at that point, once she's banked all that money, if she wants, you know, if she's serious about it, then go to college then.
Yeah, that's fine.
There's something to be said for that, but I don't know. I'm an old grumpy old man about that. I wanted to point out a couple things since people aren't calling in, but if you want to call in and change the conversation, 805-543-8830, 1-800-549-5832. I had Stephen Gutowski on yesterday for half an hour. He is the, and you can listen to that, go to 920kvec.com, click on Dave Congleton. If you missed that interview, you can listen to it. He is the gun beat reporter for the Washington Free Beacon. That's Washington, D.C., not Washington State. It's one of those kind of conservative media things. But he knows his stuff. He's an NRA instructor, too, and whatnot. But I had some plans to talk about some of the stuff going on here in California. The interesting thing was, really quickly, that H.R. 1 that they passed in the House for universal background checks, there was a bit of an embarrassment for Nancy Pelosi when that thing passed. This was a proposal by the Republicans that had been defeated in committee. They brought it back up on the House floor, and they got enough Democrats to defect on the House floor and put it in the final bill. If you want to know what that is, you will have to stay on the radio listening to us, because I'm going to tell you what that was. Some other things that have been going on kind of like that here on the Dave Congleton Show when we come back. News Talk 920 AM 96.5 FM KVEC. Matt Hoy in for Dave. Dave will be back next Monday.
Monday.
Just Monday. You're listening to Matt Hoy. Craig Hill's here with me. Give us a call. We'll be right back after this. Listening to the Dave Congleton Show, Matt Hoy in for Dave. We are doing Last Call with Craig Hill. If you want to call and get in on the conversation, 805-543-8830, 1-800-549-5832. You were explaining to me earlier this week, I think, that I'm allowed to drink on air, but you're not?
Yeah, well, it's been a long time since I've studied FCC regulations.
Okay.
But
because I'm tempted tomorrow.
As
I really
remember,
am.
As long as you're not running the board. The board is a sacred trust and cannot be...
that I can't be trusted
adulterated.
With.
Adulterated.
So I can have the alcohol.
So if you're not on the board, the control of the show, you can drink on air.
Tomorrow may be interesting, ladies and gentlemen. That's all I got to say. So getting back to my story. So Nancy Pelosi brings this H.R. 1 before the House, which would basically, it's universal background checks. It closes the so-called gun show loophole, which hasn't existed in California for ages because, you know, in California, there's no gun show. Everything's got to go through a background check. And the Republicans wanted to add not really a poison pill, but it was kind of a thumb in the eye to the Democrats. It got defeated, a proposal that got defeated in committee. They brought it back up when it was before, on the floor of the House, and they got enough Democrats to bolt to get it added to the final bill. And what it was it's illegal for someone who is in the country illegally to attempt to purchase a gun. Okay? If you've got a green card, you can purchase a gun. But if you're in this country illegally, you may not purchase a gun. And what the Republicans did was they added a measure onto this bill that says if you are caught as an illegal alien through the background check system attempting to purchase a gun, we're going to notify Immigration and Customs Enforcement. Okay? Democrats didn't want to do that. And for the life of me, I don't understand why. It's a benefit that illegal aliens get that citizens don't get, because if you're a citizen, you don't have the right to do it, and you try and buy a gun. They don't always, but I think they should. They should come after you.
Then you're generally reported to the authorities. Saying, "Hey, this guy
with a felony conviction or domestic abuse."
Yeah, if you have a felony conviction. You will then be reported to the police because it is against your parole. It's against the law.
It's against the law
to try to buy. Not even to own. To try to own
a gun.
A gun.
Now the sad thing is they don't always. You know, the district attorneys and whatnot do not always go after them, but it's illegal. And so they were going to give this exception to illegal aliens who try to buy a gun. And anyways, the Republicans got enough Democrats to flip, and Pelosi, you know, apparently went after the 20-some-odd Democrats who said, you know, that's a reasonable thing to have.
Well, yeah, that's – I think that the
just
great thing
for the, just for the record, our Congressman, Mr. Carbajal, was not one of those to flip.
Oh, really? And what was his reasoning behind that?
I don't know that he's been asked about it because the news media really doesn't care.
Yeah.
I mean, I got all sorts of questions for politicians that I can't get. And frankly, you know, when he was first running for office, I was still writing that column for the Slow Tribune, and I talked to every single Democrat running for that House seat, except him. He would not respond to my phone calls. He would not just talk with me on the phone for half an hour. And, you know, politicians. All the others understood. Hey, I'm the conservative columnist. But I didn't get any complaints after when I wrote the piece, because even though I disagreed, I presented their ideas as fairly as I possibly could. So I told you that's as Bill Cosby used to say. I told you that story so I could tell you this story. Okay. So. We've got a new law coming into effect, I believe, July 1st, which requires background checks for ammunition.
I was talking to my wife about that last night.
So if you don't want to go through with this hubbub, go buy ammunition before July 1st.
That was the plan. Yeah.
So, you know, so stock up a little bit. So they're going to do background checks. They still don't have all of the rules in place.
Because there's a thing where you... The idea that you need to have a gun, you need to be a permitted gun holder, right, to buy the ammunition as well.
No. That's not that. They just want to get some more money from you.
Yeah, but if you are not a licensed gun owner, would you still be able to buy ammunition?
Yeah.
Okay, because there was a talk about that where you had to be a gun owner.
I've been studying some of this. That the case in New York is you can only buy ammunition for guns that you have legally registered.
Okay.
So if you've got a 9mm handgun, you can't buy 45 ACP ammo in New York. I think that's the case in New Jersey as well.
But what if you own a relic / curio gun?
Well, again, that would have to be registered, so they'd know.
But legally, those guns don't have to be registered.
Well, in New York, they certainly do.
Oh, okay.
So, anyways, that's coming to every, you know, ammunition store, big five, whatnot near you is background checks for buying ammunition. Because if you somehow got a gun illegally, there's no way you're going to be able to get ammunition for it illegally.
The
guy that gave you the gun in no way illegally is in no way, shape, or form going to manage to get ammunition for that gun to give to you illegally. So the DOJ, California Department of Justice, put out these rules or proposed rules for handling the background checks. And one of the things that they would require with this background check is you've got to provide your citizenship status. You have to say whether you're a citizen, whether you got a green card, whether or not you're here legally or illegally to be able to buy ammunition. The thing is your citizenship status can only be used to kind of cross-check you in federal databases. The feds know your citizenship status or should want to. The state doesn't. Okay, so and because this is not a firearm, they can't use that National Instant Criminal Background Check for ammunition. You can only use it for a firearm. So the state's only going to be able to check the state's databases. So first off, the information's useless to the state. They've got nothing to check it against. Here's the real kicker. It's against state law for the state to ask for your immigration status. It's part of the sanctuary state thing. So the DOJ puts these rules out. You got to tell us your citizenship status. But the state law, first off, they can't check it because they can't check the federal databases. And the state law prohibits them from collecting it anyways. So who's running the show up there in Sacramento? Attorney General Becerra. What a joke.
Oh. So what is that going to mean when, let's say, hypothetically, illegal alien goes to buy a gun? That will be run against the federal.
Yes, that would be run against
the
federal.
But the ammunition
database.
Will not.
The ammunition cannot because the feds don't do that. There are specific rules for accessing that NICS database to check to see if you've got a criminal background. And it's got to be for purchasing a firearm. You can't, you know, check it for you know, blanks and giggles. They can't do that.
I just would be interested in the reasoning behind somebody who would say, I am against informing ICE if someone is trying to commit a crime, a federal crime.
With a gun.
With a gun. And I want them to back up their reasoning on it.
I thought we're all for gun safety, we don't want guns in the hands of people who shouldn't have it.
I wouldn't even back up question it. I would just say, look, give me your explanation. I won't argue with you. I just want it on the record. I want you to put down why we shouldn't inform the federal authorities when a federal crime is being committed.
Yeah, I wish I could answer you. It doesn't make any sense to me. Yeah. The other big news today is Nancy Pelosi says she wants to lower the voting age to 16.
Yeah, I saw that, and I passed over it because it's such insanity that I don't even want to deal with it.
Here's my thing. And frankly, callers, if you disagree with me, I really do want to hear from you on this. Give us a call, 805-543-8830, 1-800-549-5832. You can text us on the Stolberg Law text line, which is the 805-543-8830 number. So here's my position on this. There should be one age at which you become an adult. Frankly, I'm not sure I care what it is, but pick one. If it's 16 to vote, it's 16 for smokes, it's 16 for alcohol, it's 16 for firearms, it's 16 for getting off your parents' health insurance.
See, what you need to do is come up with a slogan like 16's not too young for guns, or 16 to vote, 16 to smoke. See, t-shirts.
Whatever you want to, I wouldn't pick 16 myself.
No.
I want consistency. If it's 18 to join the military and to fight and die for this country, you should be allowed to have a brewski. You should be allowed to smoke a cigarette. You should be allowed to have a handgun at home to defend yourself. If they're giving you a fully automatic, squad-served assault weapon when you're in your unit, you should be able to have a handgun in your off-base apartment to defend yourself. That's what I'm saying. So one age for everything. If you agree, great. If you disagree, great. Give us a call. You're listening to the Dave Congleton Show, KVEC News Talk 920 AM, 96.5 FM. We'll be back right after this message.
I've got wheels of polished steel. I've got tires that grab the road. I've got seats that selflessly hold my friends, and a trunk that can carry the heaviest of loads. I've got a mind that can steer me to your house, and a heart that can bring you red flowers. My intentions are good and earnest and true, but under my hood is internal combustion power.
You're listening to the Dave Congleton Show. Matt Hoy in for Dave. Dave will be back on Monday. Craig Hill and I are doing Last Call. This is your last opportunity to weigh in. 805-543-8830, 1-800-549-5832. Nancy Pelosi wants to lower the voting age to 16 because, quote, I think it's really important to capture kids when they're in high school and when they're interested in all of this, when they're learning about government, to be able to vote.
So if I try to capture kids, I get arrested.
Well,
but Nancy Pelosi wants to do it.
She
not a good choice of words.
When do you think the last time was that Nancy Pelosi was in a high school classroom, just flying the wall, sitting in the back, watching what's going on?
Yeah, I can tell you this, and I mean, no offense. 16-year-olds are idiots. And I can tell you from experience, because when I was 16, I was an idiot.
Yeah, it's I was an idiot past 16.
I dare anyone listening to tell me they weren't an idiot when they were 16. And
Who is right now over the age of 16?
Yeah, somebody right now who's in their 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s.
If we've got a 16-year-old listening to the show, please call in, because I'm guessing that number is approaching zero.
If you have a 16-year-old listening to this show right now, they're yelling, Mom, turn this off.
This is hate speech. He's being mean to me.
Old people talking. Oh. Hashtag, I don't want to listen. So I'm telling you right now, 16-year-olds are idiots. They've always been idiots, because I was one. My dad was an idiot when he was 16, and my dad was very smart. I'm sure Einstein, when he was 16, he was trying to, you know, light frogs off on firecrackers. You know, he was an idiot. Everyone's an idiot at 16. You shouldn't be voting.
Here's the thing. I think voting's a serious issue. I really do. I think it's a serious issue. I don't think that everyone should vote. Even everyone who's eligible. I don't think if you don't care enough to study up on the issues, if you don't care enough to be engaged in public life, if you're fine just doing your thing and going out dancing on weekends or drinking beer, whatever, that's fine with me. I want you to be engaged. I want you to be aware of what you're voting for. I still remember this when I was working in the newsroom at the North County Times in Escondido, California. There was a measure on the local ballot that would give voters the authority to review changes in the city's master plan. So this person who worked there wasn't a reporter, was someone in advertising or whatnot, said, you know, and it was being explained that that's what this particular thing is about. And she said, oh yeah, I want to vote for that. I want to be able to approve or turn down changes to the city's master plan. It's like, you couldn't become informed enough to, you know, figure all this out yourself, and now every little single little change that's made to the master plan, you want to have the opportunity to vote for it?
We're just going to run it by Becky. Becky, yeah. Can you? I don't know.
It blew my mind. Anyways,
what colors are going to be in stuff?
We have a caller.
We got a caller. We got George. You're on.
Hey, guys. I wanted to say I heard that man from the Green Party with his crap about we only have 12 years left. Well, Ted Danson 25 years ago said we only had 10 years left, and unfortunately he's still around.
Well, he was using the metric system. It's a whole different thing.
Oh, yeah. Metric years.
Yeah, it's metric years.
No, I'm with you. I had him on because, you know, frankly, I wanted to give him enough rope to kind of hang himself. It's insane.
Yeah.
There is, you know, I listed the numbers on the number of windmills and other things that would have to be installed in the next 12 years. What I didn't read to you, ladies and gentlemen, and I'm going to call this up here right now, was how long that would take based on our history. So based on our history, it said it would take us doing those things that fast would take us cost that. It would require a sustained installation rate that is more than 14 times the U.S. average over the last 55 years.
Mm-hmm.
And more than six times the peak. So, you know, there aren't enough hours in the day and enough workers in the world to get this done in the 12 years that they've set out to say that, you know, the end of the world's going to come.
And the amount of space you would need would be the entire state of California to have solar panels and windmills make this work.
Problem with most of these people, they need to smoke better dope than they smoke.
Well, that's
the other
why
thing I wanted to bring up about this college admission thing and all that,
mm-hmm.
you know, you always hear about these people getting their kids into these high-power schools and all that. Well, don't they realize that the only way that's how they're going to get in there, because some people have some dumb kids. Like JFK Jr., he flunked the New York State bar exam, I think, three times. They made an exception for him to take it for the fourth time before he passed it. I mean, you know, just because you come from money or class or something doesn't mean it'll go for you.
No, absolutely not. And the thing is that this is kind of exposed is, you know, there are ways that the rich can game what we had hoped to have created, which was a meritocracy of some
sort.
What?
Yeah. Wait, rich take advantage of the... Oh.
Newsflash!
Hold on, and now you're going to tell me the cops' kids don't get arrested when they commit crimes as often.
Another thing,
or they get special treatment.
You could get it like I did. I went in the Army. And from there, I could use what I learned in the Army, plus go to school and use the GI Bill.
Yeah, we had a guy from the American Legion in here yesterday talking about how he'd taken advantage of the GI Bill. And that, you know, that's a great way to go.
That's what I told my son. He's going to, after high school, do his tour in the Marines. And then
good
after that,
him.
Go to college. And then
my
you're going to be
was in
wiser.
The Marines.
It's just a great way to go, and you're going to be wiser. You're going to be more mature. You're going to have a work ethic literally drilled into you.
Oh yes,
and
oh yes.
You're going to actually be able to use the things that you learn in school and apply
them.
What we
should do is go back to the draft and make it co-ed. I worked with a lot of these young kids, you know, doing security and all. And what are you going to college for? To find myself, or to party, or my parents are paying for it? No. You don't need people like that. Everybody should do 2 years in the Army or
and
one of the other services.
And they should get a cat, too.
They should get a cat.
They should feed their cat.
Cats rule.
Yeah.
All right, thanks for the phone call.
Yeah, you know, that's the women. You had a judge just last week say, hey, women, you're going to have to, because you wanted equal rights, well, you got them now. You know, you're going to have to sign up for the draft. I still remember talking with a girl when I was in high school. We were having this discussion because the first, or not high school, college at Cal Poly. So we were, you know, the first Iraq War, and there were women who were not in combat roles, but, you know, the lines shifted a lot. And so there were women who were exposed to, enemy fire and that sort of stuff. And there were women who were getting killed in that conflict. And one of the kind of feminist girls in the journalism class said, "Yeah, I think women should have the right to be in frontline fighting roles and whatnot." And the advisor was a World War II vet, and he was kind of an old old-style guy, and he didn't think that women belong there, that we should protect our women. And he thought he was going to get support from me. And I said, no, I'm fine with that. You go ahead. You women can you want equal rights, we'll give you equal rights. You just have to sign up for the Selective Service. And she looked at me, and she puzzled. What's the Selective Service? I said, every 18-year-old boy knows what the Selective Service is. It's the draft. Well, we don't have the draft. I'm like, we still have to sign up. So, no, I don't think that women should have to do that. It's only if they want to. Well, that's, again, that's not equal rights. That's special rights.
Now, when that happened, I remember when I was 18, I was talking to a female friend of mine, and she said if they ever made women get drafted, she would get knocked up. That way she wouldn't have to go. Maybe, that was her plan.
Yeah, you know, maybe we could do that too. I don't know. We got a good show for you tomorrow. First hour, we are talking to Michael Semichek of the California Innocence Project. Talk to you tomorrow. Dave Conklin Show, 920 KVEC.